It's hard to believe that in one sense this is sort of the final Sunday of Lent, because next Sunday we move into Passion Sunday or Palm Sunday, and we begin the Holy Week, in which we move to that great celebration on the Triduum. And today our first reading is from one of the big gun prophets of the Old Testament. It's from Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah and Isaiah are probably the two biggest prophets relative to their impact upon the Israelite community and relative to the writings that we have. And Jeremiah and Isaiah, especially the first part of Isaiah, were similar in the sense that their prophetic office came when part of the kingdom was being trashed by foreign powers. First Isaiah is really when the Assyrians came and devastated the northern kingdom. And here Jeremiah is a couple hundred years later, and it's the Babylonians that come over and eventually destroy all of Jerusalem. And so we have that prophetic office both in the same sort of situation. And for the prophets, things were not that complicated. When you look at all of the prophets, it's very simple to them. You obey the covenant, good things happen. You abandon the covenant, bad things happen. And this is precisely where the southern kingdom was at. They had gone into idolatry and all those particular things, and the avenging rod of Babylon was going to take care of that. And so it's within this context, this idea that the people of God are being carted off into Babylon, and everything to be about as low as it can possibly get, that Jeremiah comes forward. And this is one of the most exquisite texts that we have of the Old Testament. That reminder to them that, you know, the days are coming when I'm going to form a new covenant. And when he says that, though, you start looking and your first inclination is, a new covenant. But wait a second. It's the same people. It's God and the Israelites. Same people. Covenant, same idea. You enter into this perpetual relationship because time and time again we heard it. Whether it's with Abraham, whether it's with Moses, right on down the line. They keep having all of these times when they, in a sense, re-ratify the covenant. They make a couple of altars and they sacrifice something and they take the blood. And they sprinkle it on one altar signifying God, and they sprinkle it on the people, and that's the sign of the covenant. But Jeremiah says, this covenant is going to be different, because this covenant, I am going to write it on their hearts. It's not going to be on those two stone tablets that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. I am going to write it on their hearts. And that is going to make all the difference in the world. The fact that Jeremiah is talking about their heart. Now, this new covenant that he's talking about, the day will come, the time will come, that comes with the arrival of Jesus, the Word made flesh dwelling among us. But this fifth Sunday of Lent, though, really sort of is a restatement of what we heard on that first day of Lent, when we came to church and we had our first reading from the prophet Joel. What does it say? Rend your hearts, not your garments. And as we went through Matthew's gospel, Matthew warns us. He says, no. You know, when you're giving alms, you do it in private. It's not about show. It's not about the exterior. You do that in private. Your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. And when you pray, go to your room. I don't want you standing out on corners like the Pharisees and that do, so everybody can look at him and say, he's praying. He must be holy. And when you're doing penance, make sure you wash your face and comb your hair so that people don't look and say, whoa, what a holy person. They're doing penance. So in the beginning of Lent, we hear that call to rend our hearts, not our garments, and we hear it again today as we move toward the end. And that is sort of a big question. How has Lent gone this year? Because in one sense, we can look at it, we can say, hey, I did everything I was supposed to do. I mean, I read all the stuff in the bulletin, the rules and regulations when it came to fasting and abstinence, did it all. And I gave up candy or I gave up this, et cetera, did it. No problem. Got it all done. But then the bigger question is, how did it change your heart? Because that's precisely what Jeremiah is asking. How did it change your heart? And even after 2,500 years, we're still at that point where for so many people, religion is a matter of all the exteriors. It's a matter of all the rules and all the regulations. And Jeremiah and Jesus repeats that. He says, no, it's not about that. And that was the big battle that Jesus had with the Pharisees. I mean, he cures some guy, you know, on Sunday, and he takes up his mat, and of course they jump all over him. What are you doing carrying your mat on Sunday? Well, this guy that cured me told me to do this. And then they jump all over Jesus. You can't do that because that's done on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, wait a second. This man that has been sick all of this time, he couldn't get into the pool or anything. You're complaining because I cured him on the Sabbath? You know, there's something wrong with your approach to religion. And this is not something that Jesus invented. This is we've been struggling with as Christians for 2,000 years. We can do all of the right stuff. Again, follow all the rules, follow all the regulations, went to church, made the holy days. And I'm not saying, obviously, that's bad. Did my penance, the whole ball of wax. But Jeremiah would ask us a simple question. So how did it change your heart? Are you more loving? Are you more merciful? Are you more compassionate? Are you more just? Because if you're not, you miss the point. You miss the point of what this thing called religion is about. And I came across a wonderful quote as I was doing my reading preparing for this week. And the author simply says this, in a word, he's sort of summarizing everything here. In a word, the primacy of interior values such as obedient love, knowledge of God, is the condition required for the true practice of religion. In a word, he's summing this up and saying, as Jeremiah did, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. It's not about all that exterior stuff. Again, that's not bad, but it's about the heart. And so the question still remains, you know, we're 5.5 weeks into the Lenten season. I know you fasted and abstained and all that, but where's your heart? Has it changed at all? And again, we've been struggling with this reality. You know, when you look at Jeremiah, it's about 500 BC, so 2,500 years. And we're still struggling with it. And far too many people, it's all about the externals. It's all about, I fasted when I was supposed to. I abstained when I was supposed to. I went to church when I was supposed to. And again, I'm not saying that's bad at all. But it's there to do what? To help us change our hearts. Because if our hearts are not changed, it's of no use whatsoever. We're just going through the motions. We're putting up a good front. It looks good on the outside, but on the inside, nothing. And so as we prepare next weekend, as I said, to move into this holiest of weeks, we sort of come to full circle now in our Lenten season. On that first day of Lent, we were told, it's all about your heart. And Jerry reminds us of that today. And again, that quote, very simple, very concise. In a word, the primacy of interior values such as obedience, love, knowledge of God is the condition required for the true practice of religion.